We'll look at Matthew chapter 16 here for just a little bit this morning. In Matthew chapter 16, Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse number 1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting, desired him that he would shew them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. So as we look through these verses, in verse number 1, it says, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came. And we see their desperations. See their desperation to get rid of Jesus and explain away Jesus. See, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they didn't agree. They were not of the same mindset. But they found unity against the truth. So they come together, and that's what we're seeing all around the world today. We're seeing different beliefs come together against Jesus Christ and against the truth. And that's what was happening right here. The Pharisees and Sadducees, even though when left to their own, they would argue and bicker about doctrine and you know, the Sadducees didn't believe in resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. Because with no resurrection, we'd all be sad, you see. But they didn't believe in the resurrection. So they being different in thought, different in doctrine, they were willing to come together and unify against the truth. And the world is coming together to unify against the truth today. All this one world religion and all this kumbaya stuff. And we talked about this a little bit before where the Pope says, you know, maybe we ought to be a little more understanding and accepting of Islam. Yeah, until they chop your head off, right? Maybe we all just all get along. Maybe we all just all come together and, you know, we can share prayer mats and whatever. And we can all talk about Allah and talk about this other and the other, you know, whatever. And not get caught up in this Jesus stuff so much. And that's what they were doing. They were desperate to get rid of Jesus to the point where they were willing to unify against Him. And then we see in verse number 1 also, and tempting desired him that he would shew them a sign from heaven. Their desire. They desired to trip him up. That's what they really wanted. But they were wanting a show. They were wanting a show. You know what everybody wants today? They want a show. You go into a church, by the grace of God, if you go into a church, they believe the book, they open the book, they sing out of the hymnal, they preach Jesus Christ crucified and risen again, and it's all Him, it's His righteousness, glory be to God. Forget about us, forget about the worldly things, just focus on the Lord. He'll take care of your worries and your thoughts of the world. If you just focus on Him, you focus on things, the kingdom of God, and He'll focus on your things, take care of your business, take care of your needs. And boy, people are like, boy, that makes them nervous. But you go in and they're having a rock concert and talking about money and this and that and the other. And boy, everybody, God wants you all to be rich. He wants you all to have nice things. He wants you all to be happy. He wants your flesh to be satisfied and happy. And boy, if you just seek the things of the world, that means you're in God's will and He'll bless it. And people love that stuff. We were on the way to church today and we stopped at a stoplight. And we had the contemporary Christian rock concert going on next to us at the stoplight. And I'm like, good night. I rolled the window down. No, I didn't. I'm like, I cannot wait to get to the hymnal, amen. I can't wait to sing Amazing Grace without the bebop stuff going on, amen. I keep that stuff. It's not about the flesh. It's not about this. It's about this. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Not taking a hymnal song and turning it into a rock song. They want a show. And that's what they wanted here. They wanted a show. The Sadducees, Pharisees, they want a show. You know what a lot of folks today, they want a show. They don't even understand the signs are for the Jews. But everybody wants a show. Show us, Lord. They're looking at the sky for this or that or the other. And we're supposed to be looking for Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm not waiting for the water to turn to blood. I'm not waiting for a swarm of locusts. I'm not waiting for this blood moon to line up with that or the other. I'm waiting for Jesus Christ. I mean, he saved me. He sealed me. He set me apart for the purpose. And the purpose is to brag on Him, to look for His glorious appearing, and to keep on keeping on, to unify, to focus on Him. Paul said, I press toward the prize, through the mark of the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He's pressing toward the mark, and the mark is Christ Jesus. Matter of fact, pressing toward the marks. Amen? He took those marks in His flesh, and we're going to focus on that and realize what He's done. When you realize what He's done for you and the fact that He didn't do it just for you, but He left you here to use you to glorify Him, it makes you want to tell everybody else, press toward the mark. Amen? See Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection and blood atonement. See the fact that He wants to give you His righteousness so we can rest from our own righteousness, which is unrighteousness. I was talking to the guy the other day, you know, you tell me, show me in the Bible where God replaced the Sabbath with a Sunday. And I said, well, I'll show you all kinds of things. First of all, the Sabbath was assigned to the Jews. I'm not a Jew. Second of all, the Sabbaths weren't always on Saturday. Sabbaths were holy days. Sometimes they were in the middle of the week. Do a study on this thing. I understand what He's talking about the Sabbath when He's talking about a day of rest. I understand that. Second of all, Jesus Christ is our Sabbath. He's our rest. We rest in Him. And thirdly, fourthly, fifthly, sixthly, wherever we're at, seventhly, the disciples met on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. You know why? Because that's the day Jesus Christ came out of the grave. He rose again. He wasn't crucified on Friday either. Good Friday. What's so good about Friday? I think the reason the devil wants to talk about Good Friday because I believe Jesus was dropping your sin debt off in hell on Friday. Amen. He was crucified Wednesday evening that time. He was crucified back there. He was in the grave 3 days and three nights. Can't be Sunday to, or Friday to Sunday. Amen. The evening and the morning were the first day. So evening and morning, Wednesday, Thursday, Thursday, Friday, Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday. It can't be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday that way. But the devil wants to, he wants to mess it all up to where you're focusing on the wrong days. And really, we're not focusing on days as holy days, but we realize our Savior come back out of the ground on Sunday, the first day of the week. And I know the way you talk about the sun god and all this and the pagan names of the holidays, the pagan names of the week and all that. Yeah, but He's the Son of God and He rose that day. Praise the Lord. There couldn't be a sun god without the sun because Jesus Christ made everything. In the beginning was the Word, and Word was with God, and Word was God. He made everything. And that sun that shines in the sky that gives life and casts judgment and destruction is the picture and type of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And people say, well, they worship the sun. Well, so do we, but it's S-O-N. Amen? Capital. You know, the Son of Righteousness with healing in His wings? It's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. Hey, that sun will heal too, by the way. I believe it's different after the flood. Now they're damaging UV rays that get through and cause cancer and destruction and things like that, but it also heals. I remember, you know, it used to be people say, you got low back pain, you know what you do? Go out and lay out in the sun. Let the sun beat on it for a half hour. You know what it would do? All kinds of stuff. You heard of red light therapy? You can get some right from God. You can get it right from God, amen? Now, I understand all that. You know, people want to focus on whatever they want to focus with, but these Pharisees and Sadducees, they were desperate to get rid of Jesus Christ. They were desiring, show us something. Entertain us, Lord. Entertain us. How about entertain this thought? Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, what He went through on Calvary. He is worth all glory and honor and praise. He is worthy. He is worth saying no to the flesh. He is worth bragging on. He is worth carrying a pocket of tracks with you for. Amen? He's worth looking at that person that's looking for something and saying, you know what? I've been where you are. I've got the answer for you. And it's not me, it's Him, Jesus Christ. You're not going to find the answer in the bottom of a booze bottle. You're not going to find the answer in the end of a cigarette or a joint. You're not going to find the answer in things of this world. You're not going to find the answer in finances. You're not going to find the answer in money or power or prestige. All those things will leave you empty. But Jesus Christ will make you whole. He's worthy. But people, they don't want serious, real truth anymore. They want a show. A show. You could fill a church of 5,000 if you have a rock concert and dancing girls and fireworks. You could. But the only one that wouldn't be there that needs to be there is the Lord. He wouldn't be in that mess. I don't believe He's in that mess. I know He indwells the believers, and sometimes believers get into some weird stuff and all that. But it's about Him. It's about Him. It's about coming to a point at the beginning of your week and saying, Lord, I'm at the beginning of another week, and what I want this week is You. I want to hear from You. I want to talk to You. I want to walk with You. I want to brag on You. He said, and if I be lifted up, the earth will draw them into Me. I want to lift You up, Lord, to a lost and dying world. I know the devil, he tries to trample the truth in the dirt, but you can't get rid of the truth. And we have the truth, and we should lift the truth up and say, here's the answer. The answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. The answer is, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The answer, you're not going to find the answer in religion. You're going to find the answer by a relationship with God through the mediator, Christ Jesus. He is our propitiation. He is our substitution. He is our life. I'm bragging on Him. They were desperate. They desired to see something. I was looking for something new. Look at 2 and 3. And He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. In the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? Their discernment. They had carnal discernment. They could look around and see things of the world. But you know what He's telling them? I'm the answer. I am who the prophets were telling you about. And you're so focused on yourselves and you're so focused on the world that you're missing the point. He came to be their king. They were really religious. But they were lost. They didn't have a relationship because they couldn't see through their religion to see the real truth. In verse number 3, He also says, O ye hypocrites. You see God's disgust for religion? He despised that. O ye hypocrites. You know why He brought up the term all the time? You probably invite people to church and they say, I ain't going to church, it's full of hypocrites. So is Walmart. So stop shopping at Walmart. So is Meijer. So don't go to Meijer. Don't go to Kroger. Because there's a bunch of hypocrites down at Kroger. I met them the other day. Hypocrite, boy, they're everywhere. They'll go to the booze place. They'll go to the store. They'll go to the drag races. They'll go to the rock concerts. They'll go to anything in the world full of hypocrites. But they won't go to church because hypocrites in church. What that means is I don't feel uncomfortable at Walmart with the other hypocrites. But if I go to church, I'm going to feel uncomfortable because God will tell me I'm wrong about something. That's what it means. But He's disgusted with religion. God spews that garbage out of His mouth. He don't want anything to do with that. What He wants is a relationship. And then after you're saved and you're now reunited, reconciled with the Father, He wants to walk with you and talk with you. He wants a relationship with His born-again believers where He actually talks with you and listens to you and has a constant, ongoing connection through the day. Amen? His disgust for religion. Oh, ye hypocrites. Look at His declaration about their condition in verse 4. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Think about what's going on in that verse. He calls them hypocrites, and then you know what he tells them? You're a wicked and adulterous generation. You know why? Because they were wicked and adulterous. They were fooling around with other gods, but they didn't want the God. They had replaced the truth with their version of the truth, if you will, which isn't even truth. Every time God blessed the Israel in the Old Testament, they would take on the heathen gods and take on their ways and get further and further. His blessing, instead of bowing down and praising the blesser, they would take on the pagan stuff and get further and further away from the Lord, and they'd end up back in captivity. Same thing happens with born-again believers. I'm not saying you lose your salvation. You're saved. He gives you eternal life. He gives you everlasting life. But a lot of people are born again and they're in bondage to sin over and over and over again. The Bible says sin should not have dominion over us. We have the victory over sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. What's that mean? That means if you get wrong, get right. Put it under the blood and go on. His disgust for religion, his declaring that you wicked and adulterous generation. Here he is, he's coming to be their king. He told them over and over and over and over again, you'll dwell with me, I'll dwell with you, you'll be my people, I'll be your God. He said he'd be their God dwelling with them. Jesus Christ comes and he said, I and the Father are one, I'm the one you're looking for, I'm the king of the Jews. And they said, we don't want any of that. Because they were wicked and adulterous. Look as he directs his disciples. Look at verse 4. Well, back at verse 4 again for another reason. He says, I'm going to give you another sign. The only sign I'm going to give you is a sign of the prophet Jonas. You know what their sign's going to be? It's going to be after they crucify their king, when he's 3 days in it and he comes back up out of the heart of the earth. The sign of the prophet Jonas, which is the type. After they've already crucified him. He says, there's your sign. Because the Son of Man is going to be in the heart of the earth and he's going to come back out. Just like Jonah, 3 days, 3 nights. That's what he's telling them. Matter of fact, after he comes back out of the grave, in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, he's still preaching to them about a kingdom. And then they stone Stephen to death and he turns to the Gentiles. Acts chapter 8, he saves the Ethiopian eunuch. He's long-suffering and merciful. Hey, God is merciful. There's something you're going to find all the way through this Bible from Genesis to Revelation is mercy. And something you're going to find all the way from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 is grace. Because when Adam and Eve, they fell in the garden, he showed mercy by sacrificing an innocent lamb so they could be right with God. You get to the book of, further into the book of Genesis at the flood, shows mercy and grace. Notice it says, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You get on up there to Sodom and Gomorrah, you know what he's still showing? Mercy and grace. You know what? You go to Genesis 11, Tower of Babel, you know what he shows? Mercy and grace. He could have smoked them all and started over again. He'd have been right because he's God. But he didn't. He separated them, confounded their language, and they're like, kumbaya, everybody get together. No, God said separate. You know what he said to separate them? So they'd seek God. They get together and start mixing their own unbelief together and create their own God. That's what's going on in the United States. You wonder why they fight so hard to keep illegal immigrants in this place? They don't care if they're killing people. They don't care if they're raping and murdering. You know why? Because they're led spiritually by the devil. And they want Catholicism to filter through this place and trash the rest of what's truth here. That's the truth. And Islam. Right now, the United States spiritually has been taken over by Catholicism and Islam. That's what's going on. That's the truth. That's what needs to be taught and preached from every pulpit, every Bible-believing pulpit in this country. The truth. The Catholic Church is not our brother and sister religion. If they're saved, they're saved, the individuals. But that religion is of the devil. Islam is of the devil. Most of what's going on in most churches today is of the devil. Amen. I mean, the devil shouldn't be able to walk into a Baptist church and sit around and tap his toes to the music. The devil should want out. Amen. You start talking about the blood of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, holy, 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 worthy, God, worthy is God, hey, worthy Almighty, God Almighty, the Lamb of God who's taken away the sin of the world. You talk about that stuff, the devil doesn't want any of that. He's not going to slide up in there and be comfortable. He's going to want out. But boy, I think a lot of times he just show up early and stay late and enjoy the service. I hope he doesn't ever do that here. I hope he's uncomfortable here. Amen. The Lord showed disgust for religion. He declared their condition. You're wicked and adulterous generation. You're not going to have a sign except the sign of the prophet Jonas. He directed his disciples. He said in verse number 5, when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. He directed his disciples. He warned them about the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You know what he's warning them about? The Bible says the leaven is false doctrine. And the leaven is hypocrisy. You know what the hypocrisy of their false doctrine is? That they could trust their righteousness instead of the righteousness of God. And he's warning against that. He's warning his disciples, don't get caught up in this false doctrine. You know what leaven does? It puffs things up. Y'all ladies have baked bread, baked cakes, baked cupcakes, baked cookies. It puffs things up. You put leaven in it, it puffs things up. And guess what it does? It rises in the oven because it's full of hot air. You know what the Pharisees were? They were puffed up and full of hot air. And Jesus came to deflate them. He came to jump up and down when the cake was rising. Amen? You ever had somebody do that? Oh, the cake fell. Now we got a giant round cookie. They're still good after they fell. The sugar's just kind of condensed. Amen? But he warned them of the leaven of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. That's what has to happen today. You have to warn of the leaven of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. I talk to people all the time that tell me, yeah, I believe in Jesus, and I think I'm going to be good enough to get there. You know what has happened? They have taken the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they've applied that to their spirituality, and they've created a religion where they think they can be good enough to get to heaven without Jesus Christ. I don't know, I'm pretty good, preacher. That always gets me because I'm like, good night, man. You're better than I am because I wouldn't even tell. I'm not even going to start telling you I'm pretty good. He is great. He is good. He is worthy. I'm pretty good, preacher. I'll tell you what, I keep the golden rule. What is the golden rule? Where, find it in the Bible. Well, you know what the Bible says. I've got a couple ideas. Tell me what your Bible says. Well, you know, doing to others. Okay, what verse and what chapter? Where's that at? Well, you know, the golden rule, preacher. I got to keep that thing. And I try to keep the Ten Commandments. Okay, name them. Well, thou shalt not read the Bible, thou shalt not. I mean, they don't know what the Ten Commandments are, but boy, preacher, I'm pretty good and I'm keeping them. I know when I get there, the Lord's going to be impressed with me. And I'm like, good night, brother. You are better than I am. Because I'm going because the Lord, the Father, was impressed with the Son. Amen? But they've taken on the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they're starting everywhere, they're starting to believe, well, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to jump through this hoop, you've got to be a certain way, and you do have to be a certain way. You have to be guilty before God. That's what the law does. It shows us that we're guilty, and it shows us we have no hope or no help without Christ, and it turns us to Him, and we call on Him and say, Lord, I'm guilty. Forgive me and save me. It's Him. No leaven. Just straight truth. You know what? People like leaven. They like people who go, you know, you're probably pretty good. And God, He's probably pretty happy with you. Maybe you should just add Jesus to your life. That's leaven. You know, you need to puff them up. They like to be puffed up. You know what the truth is? I told that fellow the other day, yesterday over at Lowe's, I said, you know what? Jesus Christ died for sinners like you and me. Because we're guilty. And when you trust Him as your Lord and Savior, He'll give you His righteousness. Because He is so good. He has done so much for you. If you just read that, call on Him. It's truth. People have to become guilty before they can be innocent. You have to throw yourself on the mercy of the court, and God will say, I'm putting the blood on your account, amen? But people aren't guilty anymore. Comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. That's what they do a lot. You ever heard that? Well, you know, I'm not like that guy down there in Florida that killed 45 people. I'm not like that guy. I'm not like that girl. I'm not like, boy, my neighbor. Good night. My neighbor raising Cain all night long, nobody sleeps, dogs barking, and boy, I'm not like them, they're going to hell. I mean, they'll come up with some weird stuff. I mean, that person down the road, they never help anybody. I try to help people. They're justifying themselves. You can't justify the unjust. Only Christ can do that. He is our justification. So he directed his disciples. He said, look, you guys, you're walking in truth. You're walking with truth. Don't let the religious leaven get in there and mess up your doctrine. He directed his disciples. Look at verse 7. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Right over their head. And he says in verse 8, it says, which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, he detected their lack of faith. Look what he says. O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? Because ye have brought no bread. He directed his disciples to stay away from leaven. Then he gives them a blunt truth. And he detected their lack of faith and understanding. You're missing the point. You ever tell somebody about the Lord and they go, well, I go to church. Are you saved? I go to church. I do the best I can. And it's like, whew. You're missing the point. You're guilty. Have you been born again? Have you trusted Jesus Christ? Well, I try. I go to church. And, you know, I went last Easter, matter of fact. Amen. I mean, they're goers, man. And again, I'll tell you again, I bet you at least 50 times in the last 10 years, I've said, where's your church? And I go, I don't remember where it's at, but it's right down there. Honey, where's that at? And she's like, oh, what's the preacher's name? What's the preacher's name? Bill or Jim or Frank? Or I'm like, how many Easters ago did you go now? Well, I go, though. And like my neighbor, their dogs bark all night and they never go to church. I went the 23rd of July, 1954, you know. I'm a church goer. Amen. But he detected their lack of faith and understanding. Look at verse 9. Do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves, the 4,000, how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread? You should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. He defined their problem. He defined the problem with the Sadducees and the Pharisees. What is leaven? It's false doctrine. And it's false doctrine intended to puff you up, to make you think that you are worthy and you are good. You ever heard somebody say this? Well, we're all God's children. We're all God's children. And here's some of God's supposed children. The Lord looked at him and said, you're of your father the devil. The lust of your father you shall do. You know why? Because they were of their father the devil. You know where lost people are? They're of their father the devil. When you're born again, you're born into the family of God. Well, God made man and he made us all in his image. No, he didn't. He made Adam in his image and Adam fell. And now you're born in the fallen image. The new image being conformed to the image of Christ, he's our new image. The last Adam, Jesus Christ. We're being conformed to his image. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we'll be changed. We'll be just like him. And we can do that. We can get that. We have that. We have that promise, that hope, because we have been born again. A spiritual birth. This flesh didn't get saved. Wouldn't that be great? Your flesh got saved too, and all the aches and pains went away? And your brain worked like Jesus's? You know what? That's going to happen one of these days. This flesh is going to be laid down. You're going to get a new body. You're going to be like him. You're going to think like him. You're going to look like Jesus Christ. Anybody see you after that, say, that person right there is Christ-like. Amen? Won't just be once in a while. It'll be forever. Praise the Lord. My exciter's about ready to go off. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. He detected their lack of faith and understanding. He defined the problem. It's false doctrine. Men are trying to justify themselves. I'm telling you what, this is The world is so wicked, and religion is so wicked. You think, look at the move of quote-unquote Christianity, where everybody's a Christian now. I mean, good night. You got people on there that are saying, almost saying the Muslims are Christian. Oh, they believe in Jesus. I mean, they're fine. They believe in Jesus. They don't believe he was death, burial, and resurrection. They don't believe he's. They believe he's coming back to bootlick Allah. No. Anybody in that religion is going to be just like the rest of them. Every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Every knee and every tongue. And if Muhammad can get back out of that grave long enough, he'll bow down to Jesus. Amen. And even if he can't, at the white throne, he'll bow down to him. Only y'all know who Tucker Carlson is. He done stripped some gears. He went full-blown nut. He's up. They're talking about Islam, and Islam believes in Jesus. They believe in Jesus. That's what happens when you're a good Catholic with a lot of leaven. You can take in whatever and add it to yours. But if you look at what that religion does and what they call for and how they treat women, women are not even human beings. They have more respect for their goats than they do their women. You know, it's kind of sad, but in the United States of America, they kind of have more respect for dogs than they do people anymore. You could poach a deer and get 50 years in prison, murder somebody, and walk in 10 years. I'm not advising either one of those. But I'm just saying everything's getting messed up. Upside down, inside out, and backwards. Jesus Christ didn't die for Bambi. He died for you and me. So put Bambi on a slice of bread and go on about your day, amen? No, but I mean, we should respect what God has given us. I don't believe in cruelty to animals. I don't believe in that. I don't believe you ought to torture animals or any of that stuff. But I believe that God created man, and he created animals, and man was supposed to have dominion over the animals. And I also believe, we take that a step farther, that Jesus Christ is supposed to have dominion over his children, over his brothers and sisters, over us. Amen. And when he doesn't have that, we see all this other stuff go on. All this craziness. You know, I believe over in Revelation where it talks about the great whore and then at the end where she's destroyed because God put it in the heart of the beast to destroy her. I'm telling you, that great whore is Roman Catholicism and that beast is Islam, and Islam's going to use that. And the devil is opening the door through the Pope right now to invite them in. They're praying together and doing all this stuff together. And when the devil's through with the Catholic Church, it's going to be Islam all the way. I believe that Islam will kill the last Pope, and it'll be Islam all the way. See, well, the problem is that the Bible, the problem is the Bible, because the Bible makes people feel bad. No, the problem goes back to Isaac and Ishmael. And the problem goes, people don't rightly divide the word. People don't understand there was a son of promise and a son of bondage. And the son of bondage is trying to destroy, always trying to destroy the son of promise. That son of promise was so attacked because that son of promise was promising Jesus Christ to come down through that seed. And now, like I said before a couple weeks ago, he couldn't kill the seed. He couldn't kill Christ on Calvary and keep him dead. So now he wants to kill him in your life where nobody sees him. Now, if you went to the bank today, not today because they're closed, you went to the bank tomorrow. Tomorrow's not a holiday, is it? If you went to the bank Tuesday, I'm sure they'll be open Tuesday. If you went to the bank Tuesday and said, give me $5 in silver dollars, and you're a coin collector a little bit, you know a little bit about coins, and you get the dollars, you know, and they're 1983, and you get it like a 1961 D or something that's just perfect. I mean, that thing, and it's in a sleeve. You stick that thing in your pocket, you're going to want to show somebody. Say, look at this thing. You wouldn't believe what this is worth. I just got a, this, or you get a, I'll tell you what, they quit making copper pennies in 83. They give you a copper 83 penny. That thing's worth $1 million, or right at that. If you got a copper 83 penny, that thing's, if you got 83s, you ought to hang on to them and weigh them. Because if that thing's copper, which some of them accidentally got minted that way, they're worth $750,000 to a little over $1 million. $750,000 to a little over $1 million. And if you had that coin, you wouldn't just put it in your pocket and forget about it. You'd want to show somebody. See, you would not believe the value of this coin. See where I'm going with this? Jesus Christ lives in you, and he's more valuable than any copper penny. Don't you want to tell somebody about him? Say, boy, with this penny, I'm going to take this penny, I'm going to sell it, I'm going to buy me 50 acres with a three-bedroom house, and get me a 63 split-window Corvette, and I'm going to get this, that, and the other. I'm going to do this with this penny. Hey, guess what? With Jesus Christ, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be just like him. I'm going to come back with him. He's going to fight. He's going to defeat the devil, the false prophet. He's going to bind the devil for 1,000 years, rule and reign. We'll be with him. Good night. For eternity, I'll be like Jesus Christ. That's worth more than any penny. You say, well, yeah, but you know, people just don't want it. People don't want to care about your penny either. But you'd still tell them. Somebody would get excited. You know what happens when you tell everybody about Jesus? Somebody gets excited. I was at Lowe's like, here's a track, you know, about Jesus. The kid's like, woo, thanks for telling me. Thank you so much for this, sir. He was more excited about getting it than I was giving it. Amen. She wouldn't believe what I got in my pocket. It's a Bible track. Tell you how to get to heaven. Oh, well. Thank you for now. I got things to do. I appreciate your time, though. You know what? Maybe it's because we come across like he's not worth anything. Maybe. Boy, I got something for you. I got the best deal you ever could imagine. I was like you, lost and on my way to hell, and Jesus Christ saved my soul, gave me his righteousness, gave me eternal life. And I know where I'm going. I don't have to worry about the grave and the hell and all that stuff. I don't worry about that because he had victory over death, hell, and the grave, and you can have it too. Amen? Well, nobody wants it anymore. Praise the Lord. He detected their lack of faith and understanding. He defined the problem. Stay away from false doctrine. And define the problem pretty much as this. Men always want to justify themselves. And then he died for sinners. He died for sinners. Shortly after this run-in with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, Jesus Christ went to Calvary. And they beat him. They ripped his beard out. They drove a crown of thorns in his head. They hung him on that tree. That cursed tree, he became sin for us. He hung up there with two thieves, and they mocked him. But after a while, one of them noticed something was different about Jesus. And he trusted Christ. And then Christ died, and they come around, and they broke the thieves' legs, and they died. And then he come back out of that grave so you and I could have everlasting life. Do you really believe that? Tell somebody about it. Amen? Well, they're going to think I'm crazy. They already do. Amen? Let them know you're crazy about Jesus. Amen? Amen? Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. If you crucify yourself, you can live for him. I mean, I don't know how many times y'all do this, but I sometimes I'll run out of tracks. I'll be out somewhere and have a couple of tracks. I'll say, Lord, you got any tracks? And she'll give me like six of them. I'm like, I only wanted two. I've got a one-track mind today. I've got one track. She'll hand me a stack of them, and then I'm like, oh, I've got to hand all these out now. Honestly, don't you feel that way too sometimes? I don't want to do this. I'm just doing my duty. And then the next thing you know, three or four tracks into it, and you're like, man, this is fun. This is good stuff. Your spirit bears witness with his spirit. He lives in you, and he wants to live through you. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If you die to yourself, it's all gain. The world, the devil, and the prosperity preachers want you to believe that if you live for self, it's all gain. And it's the opposite. Because if you live for your flesh, it's going to be all lost at the judgment seat of Christ. Boy, look what I had for 70, 80 years. And there'd be some bum on the street that just lived his life bragging on Jesus Christ, and I'll say, look what I have for eternity. I've got a crown to lay down at the Lord's feet because he's worthy. We're going to be there one day. Lord knows when. Even so, come Lord Jesus, today be a good day. But be ready and be aware, be warned. Stay away from the leaven of the Pharisees and die to self and live for Christ. Amen. Father, we love you and thank you for Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the opportunities you give us, Lord. Help us to, with a joyful heart, take advantage of those opportunities. That we'd be more excited than the guy at the bank with the penny. Because we have Jesus Christ and he has us. We love you and thank you for everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen.